Welcome back to That 590 Show. Heading back to the Bellman Automotive phone line, and our friend Jim joins us. Good evening, Jim. How are you?
Hey, good evening, guys. Great coming on to a song like that. Back in my heyday when I was young and strong and tough, I used to walk the streets of downtown. I felt like I was John Shaft.
Did you have an afro like Richard Roundtree did in that movie?
No, I used to tease my buddies at the Berg. I went to school with Rock's uncle. But anyway, the kids I went to school with, DeBerg, he had a cool afro. William Clark, I used to tell him, I said, you were born with yours. If I wanted to get a permanent, it would cost me $100. And my mom and dad said no.
I can just picture Jim walking through the streets of downtown St. Louis in a leisure suit, kicking high heels, you know, shooting finger guns at the cars driving by. How's it going, everybody?
The long leather coat.
I would have did that if anybody was like wearing a Washington Redskins hat or something. You know, the team I root for. But I know, I heard your conversation with Hockey Bob. Now, I can't touch that politics stuff. As you know, I ain't smart for that. I'm a one-horse kind of guy with sports. But I figured, well, I'm fired up, too. I'll call up. I got a gripe. After an exciting week with four CFL games on TV.
I knew this where he was going to go.
Of course it was.
ESPN rats only are going to show half the week, too. So they've cost me two football games this week. So I'm really disgusted with ESPN. I figured that would make you guys mad, too, because I know if you miss a CFL game, it really tears into your guys' hearts, right?
It does. I mean, I don't know how.
I'm crushed right now, Jim.
Yeah, just devastated.
I know you guys love football.
I'm rocked to my core.
And then I guess two other things, and I'll get off, because I know you got to hear that Brendan Schaefer. Boy, he's really risen. He's really a good guy, though. But my other thing is I'm fired up. You know, in 5 days, I will be watching ESPN because it's one of my big events of the year. Then, like at 11 o'clock on the 4th of July to kick off the holiday with the Nathan hot dog
eating contest. I should. Oh man, I'm so slow on that one.
Matt Stoney for the win.
Five or six. While I watch Joey Chestnut knock off about 70.
Boy, Jim, you're really into those fringe sports, spelling bees and Canadian football.
Yeah, well, you gotta be an
hot dog eating contest.
That's why I like to consider myself the champion of sports. I don't want to leave no stones unturned.
Jim, how much did you love ESPN2 back in like the late 90s? When it was logging competitions and things.
The great outdoor games.
I live in the city, so I didn't get it when it first came on. It used to make me mad. Because remember when they invented that channel, their first big sports was NHL games. I'd have to go to a bar to watch my beloved sport, and that's probably how come I used to drink too much and I got fat. I blame it on the city for not providing me with ESPN2. I might have stayed home in my childhood more often.
See how that lawsuit works
out. I got to ask you guys this on the way out here. This is my last thing to complain about. You guys will disagree with me, but I thought of this today, and I said, I'm especially going to call you guys. You know, Rock, we always fight. I'm the old school guy. You're the new school guy. But look at the great game of baseball. I have to admit today, my YouTube went out because of the computer or whatever, and without Paul here, I was too illiterate to set it. So I watched this old Ken Burns baseball segment on cable, and I thought about this. Ty Cobb, Jackie Robinson, Honus Wagner, all these old goats, they used to steal home frequently, right? Well, now nobody even tries to steal second or third, but you have nobody stealing home. Is it because, like I think, those old-time guys were just superior and great?
Nope.
And these new guys are stiffs?
Nope. It's not it at all.
I'd call you guys because you guys would probably differentiate.
Unfortunately,
what's your opinion of that?
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to say that, yes, those guys were great. But I have to think that the only reason that they were stealing home is because the overall talent in the league at the time, for whatever random catcher and pitcher happened to be in the games against those guys, wasn't as high as it is now. Therefore, they're not getting thrown out.
We don't know this, but what happens if Ty Cobb was stealing home a lot against Walter Johnson?
Well, that's pretty good. Okay, that's pretty impressive.
Jackie Robinson, when he was stealing home, and I saw on the highlights a lot of times, it was the World Series against the Yankees. I know he got Whitey Ford a couple of times, and them guys are great.
How many times did Jackie Robinson get thrown out stealing home?
I don't have the answer for you.
Do you see him get caught stealing home ever?
None of these highlights.
Okay, that's because they're highlights.
Highlight. You're not going to see it.
I got to wonder then, if these guys are going against the big names, I thought for a while these guys would have been stealing against maybe just some of the lesser names out there. If it's against the big names, you just got to think they were just trying more because the numbers weren't there to show how inefficient it was.
Well, Anderson never used to even try to do it.
That's true. That was later on.
Third. He was just great at stealing second.
Yeah.
There was probably no better battle, though, in baseball than when Johnny Bench was probably catching and Lou Brock was on base. My dad took me to a couple of those games. And I don't know who got the better of who, but I know Ricky Henderson holds all the records. You guys will argue with me, but I still think Lou Brock's the greatest base dealer in my mind. And I know all the Yadier Molina fans will be mad at me out there, but I'm sorry, I don't put him in a class with Johnny Bench. I think Johnny Bench will always be the greatest catcher.
Jim, have a great night. We got to get to Baby
Yelp. You guys do have a great weekend. If I don't talk to you tomorrow, remember the CFL and hot dog eating contest. That's how you spend a holiday. That's the Jim Eichelberger way. Have a great night.
You as well, sir. Let's head back to the Bellman Automotive phone line, and our friend Baby O joins us. Good evening, Baby O. How are you?
Doing very well. First of all, shout out to Big Al out there. You know, Big Al, he's another one of my favorite callers, too.
Big Al comes in like a wrecking ball.
No, and leaves like nothing ever happened.
You're right about that.
And, you know, I'm going to throw out some stats to you. This is Vaki Bob. Let's see, he got us out of two wars, Iraq and Afghanistan. Took out two leaders, Gaddafi and bin Laden. Unemployment, all-time low. Gasoline price went from $3.80 to $2.20 a gallon. Let me see, what else? Stock market hit an all-time high. President Obama ought to be very embarrassed about the job that he did under his administration. Now, I'm not going to get into the rest of the politics, because I just wanted to throw that out there. Because people keep saying what a bad job Obama did, but they can't tell you what he did. I can't understand that.
Well, like I said, these are the people who, I mean, they're going to hate Obama no matter what. They wouldn't vote for Obama if Obama personally saved them from drowning.
And let me tell you something.
It doesn't change his politics, man.
If there ever was a person who could have gotten on Twitter and did what this idiot is doing now, you know, Obama president, the stuff that was said about him, written about him from news outlets like Breitbart and all them people, he took the high road. He didn't respond at all. That's what, and if you think that the president's job is just like ours, it's not only the highest position in the world, it's supposed to be the most respected position in the world. And that's a key word, respected. But how is it this position going to be respected if the person who's in there doesn't respect it himself?
To quote Tony Soprano, those who want respect, give respect.
That's right. Now, on the sports, I want to talk about this the Chris Paul trade. And I heard a couple of guys talk about if there are going to be enough balls for Chris Paul and James Harden in the backcourt. And I say yes. And the reason I'm saying that is the Golden State Warriors has set a new standard for basketball. Remember when Shaq and Kobe were playing together, everybody talking about, well, there's a disagreement on whose team this was. Was it Shaq's team? Was it Kobe's team? The Warriors now have proven, you know, you put your egos at the door. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, they said nothing when Kevin Durant came in. Curry didn't worry about getting less shots. Thompson didn't worry about getting less shots. They all came together as a team. And I think a lot of these basketball teams and players are going to look what they did. Now, they may not be as good as the Warriors. I don't think that's going to make a difference. But I think the days of some guy being selfish because he has to take less shots, Golden State has shown it can work. So who cares whether your average goes from 31 points to 27 points a game? If you can walk away at the end of the season with the ring on your finger. So I think it's gonna be more players that's gonna look at that. Hopefully that selfishness is gonna go by the wayside. You know, rumors now is Carmelo Anthony maybe, I don't think it's gonna happen, going to Cleveland. You think he's gonna worry about getting less shots, playing with LeBron James and Kyrie Irving if the ring is what he's seeking? So now, like I say, all these guys make money now.
They all do. So they all now that now what they right want to do is they want to win and they want to have fun because
they want that ring.
They want to win and they want to have fun. That's what Kevin like. That's part of the reason why Kevin Durant left Oklahoma City. He really wasn't having fun playing with Russell Westbrook. You know, he wanted to play on a team that shared the ball, and that's what they do at Golden State. Houston Rockets GM Daryl Morey, he said that it's an arms race, and that's the best way to describe what's going on in the NBA, and especially in the West. Everybody is trying to catch up with the Golden State Warriors. They you know, Chris Paul opted in for his final year of the contract, and they traded him to the Houston Rockets. Now, Chris Paul can opt out if it doesn't work that 1 year in Houston, so it's a pretty risky move from the Houston Rockets standpoint. But, I mean, I don't think that are the Rockets better? Yeah. How are they going to work? I think they'll find a way to work it out. I mean, I think Chris Paul and James Harden have even already talked about playing on the same team together.
That's the big thing, is that they orchestrated this, so they've talked about it.
Yeah, so they've talked about it.
The key thing is that Mike D'Antoni, for all his shortcomings, or whatever you want to talk about, defense, or however you want to talk about Mike D'Antoni.
They can coach offense.
Mike D'Antoni's shortcomings about a coach. Not only can he coach offense, but he was really one of the first players or one of the first coaches who in the 90s really started staggering his players' minutes with the Suns in a very aggressive way so that he always had a top player on the floor at all times. Sometimes he would take Amari Stoudemire out, leave Steve Nash in to play with the second team because Nash was going to get points out of those guys. My point being is that there will not be a point in the majority of these games where within those 48 minutes that one of CP3 or James Harden is not always on the floor. He will stagger the minutes to the point that one of them is always the primary ball handler, and there will only be about 6 to 8 minutes per game where Harden has to work off ball or CP3 has to work off ball because they're on the court at the same time. They simply will not be on the court at the same time a lot. They will stagger the minutes, and one of them will always be on the court. That's how they do it.
Chris Paul is a pass-first point guard.
He is.
He looks to pass first. And something I never thought about, you've got two excellent guards who can both handle the ball. One is left-handed, one is right-handed. So it's going to be very interesting. Now, Houston's problem is going to be up front. They still don't have much fun on the front court, but I think watching those two play together is going to be very entertaining. I just thought I was going to throw that out there. You guys have a great weekend, and I will talk to you next week.
Sounds good, baby. Oh, have a great night.
No worries about the front court. It's the same front court they had last year. They won 50 games.
Who's that? Houston?
Houston. Same front court they had last year. They'll get, even if they don't get the Nene back, Capella's the real impressive player on that front court, so no big deal there.
Chris Paul does make them better defensively, too. There's no question about that.
No, they stay the same defensively because Pat Beverly is the guy they traded, and Pat Beverly is literally one of the few people who I'll say is at the level of defender. Now, the difference there is that Pat Beverly routinely guarded 6'5", 6'7", guards without much issue. That's something CP3 hasn't done.
Yeah, because Chris Paul's like
6'4". He's a lockdown point guard defender, about 6'3", but unlike Beverly, he's not super long, and so he doesn't have the experience guarding twos. So the question then becomes, even with staggering minutes, can maybe taking a little bit of the playmaking load off Harden's shoulders allow him to put just a little bit more on the defensive end?
We have a text coming in from the Wright City Lemming. Help me out, guys. Will there be alcohol at a wedding reception for Mormons at a Latter-day Saint church? No, Wright City Lemming, you will need to smuggle in your booze. The Mormons do not believe in that stuff, so you're going to have to smuggle it in.
And one more, 314. Rock, you were wrong. The MVP is Russell Westbrook. I was wrong. I thought it was supposed to, I would have voted for James Harden. I thought it was going to be James Harden based off the way the all NBA team voting came down, Harden being the only unanimous member. I was wrong.
Ward Cleaver texting in, did you see the renovations that they are doing at the Phillips Arena for $197 million? The Scott Trade Center is way behind the eight ball in this one. Yeah, what they're doing at Phillips Arena is crazy. They're going to have like a barbershop that's going to be like courtside. They're going to have suites. They're going to have virtual golf. I mean, almost everything's going to be done at Phillips Arena other than, you know, maybe really good basketball. That's going to be missing at the Highlight Factory in Atlanta. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Brendan Schaefer from the STLIntrepid.com. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.